The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Who Won the Week, Sci-Fi Wire's podcast, where we break down the week in geek news. We have celebrity interviews. We've got conversations with Sci-Fi Wire staffers about their work, about their passion. I am joined this week by some very fun guests. I've got Ben Fallon here later in the podcast from Sci-Fi Wire, and we're going to be talking all about The New Mutants. The film hit theaters this weekend. We didn't see it. Because we're living in New York and you're not allowed to go to the theater in New York. I mean, maybe you're allowed, but you probably shouldn't. So we didn't see it, but we're going to be talking about all the drama leading up to the release of the film, some reactions, reviews, et cetera, the comics it's based on. So stay tuned and listen for that. But first, I am joined this week by Sci-Fi Wire Associate News Editor Trent Moore.
Hey, Jackie. It's great to be back. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, we might as well just get to it. This week there was other news, and we'll talk about some of it, but I think it's fair and awful to say that the week was pretty much dominated by the news of Chadwick Boseman, who fans know from his many, many films, but probably for us, the most important is obviously Black Panther. He passed away this week, very shockingly. That's the only word I can think of to describe besides tragic. It was
absolutely
shocking.
I mean, I think it caught everybody off guard. I know even it came out like a little bit after, you know, even the folks at Marvel, you know, even, you know, folks who work pretty closely with him just had no clue and were caught about as off guard as fans were, which was just, you know, just jaw dropping and hard to even fathom.
Yeah. I would think everyone listening probably knows what happened. Basically, for the past 4 years, he was battling colon cancer, stage 3 that progressed to stage 4, and kept it incredibly private. I don't know. It's hard to talk about for a lot of reasons because I don't want to, everyone handles and copes in different ways with illness, but the idea that he was making films, something as physically demanding as a Marvel film, while going through chemotherapy and surgeries is unbelievable. Yeah. And that nobody knew. Nobody knew.
Absolutely. And I know, like, the last couple movies he shot, like, I don't think they were a genre, but they were like, you know, a cop movie, a war movie, very, very action intensive types of roles. And I mean, still nobody had a clue. And I know I read a thing where some of his family were talking, and like, you know, part of the reason he didn't really, you know, tell anybody at Marvel is because, you know, he had all the intents of shooting Black Panther 2, you know.
Yeah.
He was still fighting. He was still, you know, just, oh God, it's tragic.
Yeah. It was the kind of thing where I was up super early with my son, saw the Apple news alert, and thought, this has to be, I'm not reading this right. This has to be a mistake. They're talking about a different person and I'm misreading what's happening. Like, I, for someone that high profile and young, and not just to pass away, but to have been suffering and battling something for so long is kind of unfathomable.
Absolutely. I mean, it's shocking anyway, but just when you see, oh my God, he's had that for 4 years.
4 years.
Nobody had a clue. Like, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like it dominated the news. There was just this outpouring of love and memories from cast members, some of whom it wasn't clear to me, and it's nobody's, it shouldn't be clear to anyone. It's absolutely nobody's business, but you know, how much anyone knew, like Michael B. Jordan and Ryan Coogler, people that he was working with intimately on these sets.
As shocked as anyone.
Yeah. It seemed like as shocked as anybody. I know in particular, the tribute that Ryan Coogler wrote was pretty profound and touching, and it included a revelation that basically Chadwick Boseman was responsible for the incredible line from Black Panther, or the idea was his, that in the original script, Killmonger wants to be buried in Wakanda, asks T'Challa to be buried in Wakanda, and Chadwick Boseman said to Ryan Coogler, what if it was somewhere else? What if it wasn't Wakanda? Which gives that incredible line, and I'm paraphrasing, but, you know, bury me at sea with my ancestors who knew that death was better than bondage. Just to understand the kind of impact he had on that franchise and on so many individual people is a really incredible legacy. Wish it wasn't a legacy, though.
Absolutely. You know? I went back and was looking at some of the, the reporting around it when it came out, and just the, as you mentioned, like with that line and the amount of detail he put into that, like, you know, he fought to keep the, that African accent that Black Panther has, because, you know, they tried to make it like European or something. They kind of recommended that. And then he made the case of, well, you know, it's this alt history and, you know, it's been its own, you know, its own country and it's never been influenced. Like, they would have this kind of accent, and it's really important that we, you know, we represent that and we do that and we show that.
Yeah.
Just the little details that you're sitting in the movie watching, like, woo, stuff's blowing up, punch him, you know, and like, but you never think about just all of that little stuff behind the scenes that he was working at, because he knew the importance of that role. I mean, yeah.
I think that's such a good point, because I also think, you know, when we talk about Marvel movies and these big budget action films like Black Panther, it's really easy to get caught up in talking about CGI and effects and these sort of, and like really broad sweeping plot lines, and forget that the reason those movies are more than just, you know, like CGI fests or you're kind of like dime a dozen action films. Not that those aren't fun, but the reason they're so good and mean so much to so many people and they're accessible to broad audiences is that there are artists like Ryan Coogler and Chadwick Boseman making those choices that don't even register, I think, on a conscious level. Like, it seems so, it's like, oh, of course, T'Challa, of course Wakandans would have an African accent, but that's not a given.
You know, it's easy to forget, you know, how much pressure there was on that movie, you know, because now we know it was, you know, it made a kajillion dollars and was a monster hit. And, you know, but, you know, had that movie not done well, it was a risk to make it, you know, in a sense, because there'd never been a big, you know, giant blockbuster about that kind of story, about that kind of hero, you know, about that kind of character, with that kind of supporting cast and something, you know, that they had to have the bravery to try out. And it was a huge hit because of big part Chadwick Boseman's performance. I mean, it was fantastic.
Yeah. I mean, we've used all the words. It's even cliche to say there aren't enough, but it's shocking and tragic. And it feels strange, honestly, to move on to other news. It's like, okay, Mulan, which is being released today, September 4th, is going to be available to Disney Plus subscribers for an additional fee. They announced that in a few months it will be available to all Disney Plus subscribers, which seems like a strange announcement to make the day before you're asking people to pay almost $30 for this film. It feels a little bit like maybe a little bit of a scramble on Disney's part. I can't tell.
I am so fascinated, like, just by the inside baseball of this. You know, it's like a $200 million giant blockbuster movie. You know, all of the live action remakes Disney's done, you know, they've made like $1 billion.
Yeah.
I mean, they've made a ton of money, you know, Beauty and the Beast, Aladdin, you know, and this was on that same, you know, that same trajectory. It would have made oodles and oodles of money at the box office. And so I'm just really curious, and maybe it'll make a ton of money on VOD. I hope it does. I mean, I hate it's not getting a theatrical release, because it looks really cool.
I know. And it looks like it was, you know, really
great representation. Such a great movie.
Yeah. It looks too, like those big battle scenes are just shot and meant to be watched in a theater.
On the big screen. Yeah.
Yeah. It feels weird. It feels, I don't want to read too much into it, but it feels like a little bit of a lack of faith, or maybe not a lack of faith in the movie, but a lack of faith in this model and what it might mean.
Yeah. It feels like the canary in the coal mine, in a sense of, you know, we've got to try it at some point with a blockbuster, and this is the one we had sitting here ready.
Yeah.
But I mean, I hope it's a gigantic monster hit, but yeah, you just don't know.
It feels like putting something on a rack in a store and telling everyone who wants to buy it, like, it's going to go on sale in a week. Like, what? Okay. I guess that's nice of you to do, but it really seems like it's undercutting your model. Because I mean, I'm going to pay for it tomorrow. I'm going to pay for it and watch it. It's not going to make.
Oh, me too, absolutely.
Yeah, like I'm not going to wait a few months. I think people are so hungry for new things to watch right now.
And I mean, it hits that sweet spot of like, the family films have done the best through this, the Scoob and the Trolls movie. Bill and Ted Face the Music, it was, blowing up the VOD charts, but like you haven't seen it with just like what would have been like a $1 billion gigantic super movie. So yeah,
Very weird.
it's just a weird time.
It's a weird time, and I think nobody knows how to handle it, and nobody, even at the highest levels of, like the C-suites at these massive studios and conglomerates, are like, we don't even know how to. People are so obsessed with like metrics and measuring success beyond just is it good or bad that I feel like part of the panic has to be what would even be success? Like, what would this look like?
Yeah.
We have
There's
no
nothing to
clue.
compare it against.
Very weird. I'm excited for the movie, but weird move, Disney Plus. Another trailer that dropped with a potentially weird move is the new Bond movie, No Time to Die. A trailer dropped. And it seems like they're aiming, am I wrong, a theatrical release in November?
It seems they're, I mean, they put out a new trailer, say, in November, so I guess they're thinking theaters will be open enough and folks will be going back. I mean, I guess we'll see.
I guess, yeah, it feels like a really bold move. And this is part of the conversation that I had with Ben about New Mutants. It almost feels like, and this Bond movie has been similarly plagued by delays, problems. It's Daniel Craig's last Bond film, and it's taken forever to be released. And it almost feels like, are you pushing it toward theaters because everyone thinks that's where it should be? It's a James Bond movie and we'll be fine by November, which it seems like nobody thinks, at least not in major metropolitan
No.
areas. Nobody thinks we're going to be out of the woods by November. Or are you kind of trying to just like dump this movie? Is it some weird contractual thing where you're like, dump it in the theater and then we'll put it on VOD in 2 weeks? I don't know. I don't know what the move is, but I think it looks
Yeah.
good.
As I said, the trailer looked awesome. Yeah. I mean, you've got, Lashana Lynch's first female 00 agent. It's vintage James Bondy action. You got the Aston Martin spinning in circles with machine gun headlights and all that cool stuff. I mean, and what was crazy to me is like, I didn't realize, watching this movie, Daniel Craig, not that he's getting old, but he's not, the spry young James
He's
Bond.
not a spring
But
chicken
Casino
anymore.
Royale, that was 14 years ago.
Yeah,
It's
14.
insane. Like he's went from like young hip James Bond to like old broken hip James Bond.
I know. And I do think, so I love Daniel Craig's James Bond. I know it's not for everyone. It's even through like script changes and lots of different twists and turns, like you said, 14 years in this iteration of the franchise. I love that what they've kept about this Bond is that he gets his ass kicked. I remember that like first chase scene in Casino Royale being like, James Bond is getting his ass kicked. And that's not something that you like. It was so cool to see, like, he might lose. He might lose this
That has
fight.
been the theme through this whole run of the franchise.
Yeah. And I feel like they're doubling down. It almost feels like James Bond is underdog in this. Like, he's gone fully, like, he's older. He's getting his ass kicked. There's a new 00 who's like straight up younger and cooler and like
Legit.
coming for him in every way. And I think it looks really good. I hope it doesn't just sort of like disappear in this weird theatrical release limbo that I think we're gonna have in November.
Yeah, I mean, even, with the behind the scenes stuff and the director changes and delays and all that, I mean, they're either cutting really cool trailers or it's pretty good. I
Here's the thing.
guess we'll find out, but yeah.
I think you'd have to struggle to cut a lame Bond trailer. It's like you said,
That's true.
give me a tuxedo, give me an Aston Martin, give me some like gorgeous locale, and like beautiful women kicking ass, and I'm like, I'm in.
Mean, good or bad, it's going to be worth
Yeah,
it.
remember the first time seeing an Aston Martin in a James Bond movie? This is such an aside, and telling my parents like, I want an Aston Martin, and then being like, Google Aston Martin. Like, go see.
It's like $1 million car.
I was like, surely that's an achievable dream. It's a car. You know, like, it's like, yeah, you have to have it shipped, like, from England or wherever the hell they make Aston Martin. So I was like, okay.
It's like, and I want that submarine model, too, where I can just, like, drop off the beach.
Yeah, yeah. Can I do that? How much is... Oh, that's not an add-on? Okay, great. I think it looks cool. I'm going to watch it. Another announcement that was made this week, another thing that I think I'm going to watch, but I don't know, is that The Three Body Problem, which is, I thought, a fantastic book. I mean, Obama liked it. I'm saying this because I talked to a friend who was like, I didn't like Three Body Problem. I was like, really? It's so good. But it's being adapted by David Benioff and D.B. Weiss, the team behind Game of Thrones, for Netflix, which is certainly an interesting choice. I don't know how I feel about it.
I haven't read the book, but it's apparently like a big sci-fi story about humanity's first contact with an alien civilization. Mm-hmm. I'm probably butchering and shortening that, but
that's it.
You know, they have a lot of experience adapting books, and they do it really well. And if I understand right, the trilogy is already written, so they won't have to freelance an ending, because you could see how that could go wrong, maybe.
Right. Yeah, it's really fucking good. That's basically it. It's first contact with aliens, but they're like a super... It's so complicated. There's a video game that the aliens use to like sort of kind of indoctrinate humans to getting on board with them taking over Earth. It's like, it's very complicated and very, very good. And maybe I have not read any criticism about this at all, so I don't know if I'm like completely missing the mark. I agree with you. They're very good at adapting things that are already complete. So that's a plus. That's in the plus column. It is a series written by a Chinese author. It takes place in China. All the characters are Chinese, except for the aliens. So it feels a little weird to me that they're...
That's a little strange.
Again, like, this just happened with the Civil War series that they were going to make, that people were like, don't the two of you make that. And now they're adapting...
I know when I first saw the log line for that, it's like, man, how did that even get off of the board? Like, that looks like such a bad idea.
You know, and during Game of Thrones, like, they took a lot of heat, and I think some of it rightfully so, for some of the changes they made specifically to female characters.
Yeah.
I don't want to weirdly spoil anything if anyone, I guess, hasn't read the books or watched the show, but, like, where have you been? Then came their Civil War series, and now they're adapting a series, guys, and not
they live on the edge, Jackie.
I guess so. It's just like, I don't know. The choice of them feels like, in one column, okay, great, they have experience adapting really, because it's also complicated, like really complicated plots. I just am not sure that they're who I would pick.
Yeah, what was cool to me is, like, you know, you remember a little while ago, they were tapped, you know, after Game of Thrones, they were going to make a Star Wars trilogy, and it was a whole big thing. Then they dropped out of that deal to go to Netflix, you know, for the Netflix deal to focus on it. And so this was the first big, you know, big project of that Netflix deal. So this is obviously at least a component of what they left for and gave up Star Wars. So hopefully it's good.
Hopefully it's good. And hopefully it's adapted, like, well and sensitively. I'm curious to see what happens and what the kind of broader reaction is, because that was just my very, like, off the cuff at seeing the news, like, a series of just like, okay. But it's a really good book and deserves an adaptation. So that's a positive.
Yeah, I'm going to have to read it. Yeah, it sounded pretty cool.
It's so complicated. I read it during San Diego Comic-Con 2 years ago. I had it on my Kindle, and I remember sitting at this really nice seafood restaurant in the Gaslamp District, and just having to reread the same, like, 15, 20 pages over and over and over again, because there's, like, mathematical and concepts and physics, and having to be like, okay, is it important that I understand this, or is this one of those, like, super complicated technical things that you can kind of get the gist of and keep moving with the plot?
Wait, I want to know, how did you find time to read a series of novels at Comic-Con?
So I have, I think I've gone to 5 Comic-Cons, and I've never once gone to a party. I am the lamest Comic-Con attendee. But, like, you're out all day when we're shooting. It's like, you're out.
Oh, absolutely,
blistering heat. you're talking to people all day, which can be exhausting, wonderful, yeah. but exhausting. So by the time it's 7 o'clock, I'm like, I'm done. And then I see everyone posting on Instagram who I also worked with all day, out at parties all night. I'm like, we have the same call time. And if I don't go to bed now,
yeah.
I'll never make it. God bless.
I covered my first Comic-Con last year, and like, you know, you go into it with like, oh man, I'm going to hit every party. I'm going to just go wide open. And yeah, you wrap your day. It's like 7. I was like, yep, I'm going back to the hotel and going to bed.
Good night, sir. I am not hanging out with anyone. The first year I felt so guilty. And then every year after that, I was like, I do not care. Also, all the hotels are overlooking parties. So I'm like, I'm not going to get any sleep anyway. I can just like watch the party from my window, watch all like the different rooftops.
Just give a thumbs up from your robe and then just go on to bed.
Yeah. I remember feeling really, really bad. And then sort of having a conversation with myself that was like, if I can't be my like authentic, lame, nerdy self at Comic-Con, where else can I be myself? Like, I'm not the only one not partying.
It is the safest space.
Yeah, it's got to be here. So that's how, because I don't go out. So yeah, those are some of the headlines. Trent, thank you so much for chatting about all of the news this week. Sad though it was, hope to talk to you again soon.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, Jackie. It was a blast. Hope you have a good week.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Okay, so I am here with Ben Fullon, who works at Sci-Fi Wire and is an X-Men super fan. Ben, is that correct?
I am a mutant at heart. I have many shirts that say stuff like, I break for the X gene.
I break for the X gene.
I do.
But if you don't have the X gene, goodbye.
Goodbye. I'm running you over.
Get out of here. Okay, that's great. Because I will admit here and now on this podcast that I like X-Men. Loved Logan. You know,
Logan's good.
I like what I know. Michael Fassbender. Fun.
Yeah.
But
fun, guy.
Fun guy. Yeah. Actually, he's not, right? We can get into that in a different conversation.
Yeah, we'll talk about that later.
Yeah. But I don't know, like, X-Men is a little bit, I wouldn't call it a, like, necessarily a blind spot, but it's a very obscured spot in my geek knowledge. So New Mutants is even more obscured, maybe a blind spot. Can you sort of just explain, like, how New Mutants fits into X-Men, the mythology, etc.?
Sure. So, I mean, really, New Mutants came out of the height of X-Men comics back in the old times when you had Uncanny X-Men was basically Marvel's biggest comic and arguably at the time the biggest comic, like better than any DC comic, better than any other Marvel comic. Uncanny X-Men was taking the world by storm. And then the editors at Marvel were like, hey, we need some spinoffs because X-Men's doing great and we like money.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, one of the architects for Uncanny X-Men, Chris Claremont, was like, I don't want to do a spinoff. But then Marvel kind of like broke him down and they're like, okay, do a spinoff. All right, well, we have these mutants and they're new. They're teens. They're another group of mutants that they introduced to kind of be a spinoff, kind of like take on the mantle of the kind of second gen of what Jean and Bobby and Hank and Scott and Angel were at the time. So these were a new group. It was Karma. It was Rain Sinclair, Wolfsbane, Sunspot, Cannonball. All these folks who are like, okay, we've got a new group of kids to go through mutant shenanigans.
So they were both new
to fans in that they were new characters and they were new to Earth because they were teens, like new to life. Yeah. I would consider teens like you're pretty brand new to life. So hence New Mutants.
Yep.
Got it. So this movie, the reason we're talking about New Mutants, obviously, is there's the New Mutants film is out, which has fans have been waiting for a long time, if you're a fan of the comics.
3 years.
Yeah, but since the film was announced, it's been 3 years, which is an extremely long time to be waiting for the release of a movie. But before we get to the movie, well, I guess not before we get to the movie, can you talk a little bit about the issues of the comics that this is specifically based on?
Yeah, so this is based on New Mutants 16 to 18, and this was kind of the
teens.
Reason...
Teen comics.
Teens.
Wow. A theme. Cool.
Yeah. And the reason this was so kind of big, this Demon Bear Saga arc, it's only 3 issues, but the reason it was so big is because Marvel brought on this guy named Bill Sienkiewicz to do art, and his art at the time was unlike anything anyone had put out in a comic before. It was so jarringly different and gorgeous. I'm wearing a shirt now, but like, it was very visceral in terms of like the design. And so that was one of the big reasons why people hold this arc in such high regard. It kind of starts with Danny Moonstar trying to basically, she has some visions about her parents and she goes out to kind of confront these visions. And she ends up getting messed up by this thing called the Demon Bear.
And that's in the teaser that we saw at, was it San Diego Comic-Con?
Yes.
That's like the first 2 minutes, I should say, that they released. Cool. Okay.
Yeah. And so she gets messed up and then the New Mutants go after her to help her fellow New Mutants go out to find her. And they take shelter in a kind of building to weather a storm that is happening, which is kind of where the whole like medical facility kind of comes in the movie. But there it's a lot of it. A lot of it is about Danny Moonstar. And once she gets messed up and she spends most of the arc on an operating table, kind of unconscious, it becomes Ileana Rasputin's arc, Colossus's little sister, who's also known as Magic, who was stuck in limbo for a really long time, eventually became the queen of limbo, normal new mutant things, you know.
Teen stuff.
Yeah, it was a lot of kind of confronting that kind of dark presence within you. Danny has it in terms of like she's trying to get rid of these or confront these visions, and Ileana is trying to confront this new version of herself that isn't the Queen of Hell, basically. And the other characters play a part too. Rain is there. Rain Sinclair, who's Wolfsbane, Sam Guthrie, Cannonball, and Sunspot is there too. So it was a really pivotal 3 issues of a comic that told a really great story, except for the ending's a little bit weird, but we won't talk about it. It involves white people turning into people of color at some point. So we won't. An otherwise great arc marred by just a little bit of a mess up at the end.
Are they doing that in the movie?
I hope not. I really don't want another Ghost in Shell moment.
Yeah, that's wild. I hope that's not happening. So as much as we're kind of joking around about teens and it being about teens, were the comics, and do you have a sense of whether or not the movie is geared toward a younger audience? I don't actually know what it's rated, but I'm just curious, is it...
It's PG-13, and okay. Josh Boone repeatedly pitched this to Marvel or to Fox as a kind of horror meets Breakfast Club, and he kept harping on the Breakfast Club portion of it.
Interesting.
And when he first submitted his scripts, apparently they were super dark and not fun. And so what happened was Fox had to bring in a cavalcade of writers to rewrite so much of what Josh Boone did, which is where a lot of this production dissonance starts to happen.
Yeah. So let's talk about that, because we mentioned it earlier. It's been 3 years, not even in the making, just in the releasing, some of which has nothing to do with the film, some of which is just like acquisition chaos and things being caught in promotional, marketing, whatever limbo. But there there have also been drama related to the film itself. And you actually just mentioned, I feel like it's worth a shout out, that Vulture released a piece that's kind of documenting the, all the tension and drama and whatever was happening specifically with this movie, not just at Fox, behind the scenes.
It was announced with a teaser 3 years ago, 2017. We all thought this movie was coming out in 2018. But what happened was they filmed it, went through a ton of rewrites. It kind of got the Rogue One treatment in terms of like, here's this thing that the director pitched. Oh, the studio kind of hates it. Let's rewrite the hell out of it and kind of shoot it again. So they had that happen. And then right around the time that you would normally do your reshoots and pickups, Marvel bought Fox. And so everything was just like on pause. They were like, we're not going to film anything for this right now. We don't even know if it's going to be released because Marvel is like, you know, closing down arms of the Fox movie studio production area. And deciding not to release certain films or canceling films altogether. I truly believe that this movie is only getting released because so much of it was in the can already.
It's like, why? Nothing else is happening.
Yeah. And so Marvel finally decided to say like, okay, we're going to release this in theaters. It's going to be the last Fox movie. And it was supposed to be released in May of this year, March, May, April. I don't remember because time is a flat circle. Mm-hmm. But then the the worst thing on the planet happened and things kept getting pushed back, and now we're kind of here at a place where the movie was just released in theaters and it made $7 million.
Okay, so the movie's released. I mean, what deity did this movie offend that it's nuts, like, for all that to happen, for it to finally, but I guess it's like you were saying, it's finally being released at the worst possible time for a movie to be released, but it might also be the only reason it's being released, I guess.
Yeah. Here's what I was saying. I was like, I'm an X-Men fan. I would pay the $30, which is a ridiculous price to pay, by the way.
It's so much money.
For a movie on demand on a streaming service that you already pay a monthly cost for. I would have paid that $30 to see it. But yeah, it just seems like it's a movie that was, for the longest time, they had to have filmed it on like some ancient burial ground, and they upset like, you know, the ghosts of a bunch of all powerful sorcerers and warlocks that were just like, all right, we're just going to make this movie fail repeatedly. Yeah. Because at every turn, it's just been like, you know, you want to do reshoots? Well, you're going to be bought by a major corporation and you're going to be in production limbo for a really long time. Oh, you want to release your movie? Well, there's going to be a global pandemic.
Sorry.
I just
did the math and I know it's not perfect. I understand that this isn't it. But it made $7 million opening weekend. Are we even still calling things the weekend or like opening? I don't know. But if you just divide 7 million by 30, it's like 233,000 if I'm reading my computer calculator right. And I've got to believe that worldwide there are that many X-Men fans who would have, like you said, paid $30. Everyone's so bored at home. And also in like major metropolitan areas, theaters aren't even open.
Yeah.
Like there's probably that many people in New York, LA, and Boston alone who would have paid for this movie. Why the choice was made to release it in theaters? And I mean, there are like, there are whole cities, whole states. There are countries that are still locked down where, I mean, we're living in one of them that's essentially locked down. Like, why do this? Why? Don't get it.
Yes, there's some rumors that it was in kind of the language of the deal with Fox that certain movies had to be released in theaters, and so this is just Marvel saying, we're gonna release it in the theater because you told us to.
And Fox is like, okay, well, I think you know what we meant.
Yeah. Like, and
this isn't what we meant.
Yeah, and I think the hope is that it gets to VOD a lot sooner than normal. That's one thing in terms of like why this movie was released in theaters. And the other thing too is just like part of me feels like Disney and Marvel just want the Fox era of X-Men to be over.
I get that. Yeah. It's kind of like, yeah.
They're really gearing up for X-Men to be a big thing because, you know, looking back at pre-Fox acquisition, the X-Men were notoriously absent from comics and video games. One game that I play a lot of is Marvel vs. Capcom, and that game historically has a lot of X-Men in it because the X-Men are the best in terms of just like having powers that translate really well into a fighting game.
I was going to say fighting, specifically. Yeah. Like Wolverine, who doesn't want to fight as Wolverine? So
who doesn't? Yeah. And then you had Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite, which was very much based on the movies and had no X-Men and totally flopped, partly because the roster was pretty empty. And so you have this kind of, it was basically like a decade or two of just X-Men negligence. They really, Marvel really did them dirty for a while. And now all of a sudden, the X-Men are in Fortnite. The X-Men comics are the best-selling comics that Marvel has right now. They're coming back. So I feel like Marvel is really gearing up to be like, okay, here's our X-Men for the movies, for Disney Plus, whatever they do with them. I personally believe that the X-Men make more sense as a series rather than a movie, but
yeah,
who's going to listen to me?
Look, someone might.
I hope so. Hey, look,
I pitch stuff constantly on this podcast. I am constantly speaking to the highest levels of executives at many movie studios with my strong, useless opinions. And yours are actually very good. So.
Here's my pitch. You have a big X-Men movie that you lose to launch everything, and then everything after that. Because X-Men is so team-based, you literally do not have enough time in a movie to be like, here's Storm's deal, here's Wolverine's deal, here's Scott's deal, here's Jean's deal, here's Hank's deal, here's Warren's deal. I could go on for a really long time. But here's all these characters' deals, and then have it come to like some satisfying emotional conclusion. It's just going to be really hard. So do it over the course of, you know, a bunch of episodes where you could have close to 14 hours of content, 12 to 14 hours of content where you can just kind of go through everything and give people that satisfying X-Men story. And then maybe because the future of the world is streaming and video on demand,
Snyder cut it.
Yeah, just Snyder cut it and like put it on VOD, because I bet you're going to drive a lot of subscribers to your platform if you were like, hey, X-Men are a big part of Disney Plus.
Yeah, a huge number of subscribers who I would guess, with based on zero information, I would bet that's a whole chunk of, that's like a massive chunk of Marvel / like Disney whatever fan base that probably aren't super interested in Disney Plus. Right now, a lot of their programming or offering does skew a little bit younger, a little more family friendly. And suddenly, if you introduce all of this new X-Men content, that's got to crack open a massive new fan base for them and a ton of subscribers. This is a good idea. I hope the Disney execs are listening. This is a good idea.
Bob Chapek, listen to me, man.
Yeah, listen. So I think this is another, we're obviously not talking much about the movie itself because we're in New York and can't or really should not be going to a movie theater.
Absolutely not.
Yeah, like that's a bad idea.
One of the worst things you could possibly do right now.
One of the worst. It's wild to me that movie theaters are even open right now. We're like, schools, not so sure. Movie theaters, let's open them.
Totally.
It's crazy. It's so nuts. It's really kind of upsetting. So, you know, not many people have seen this movie. It does sort of raise this question of, it made $7 million. Is that good? I have no idea. Like, for not having an opening in any city, it doesn't sound bad to me. I would be thrilled with $7 million. But what's even the metric? I don't think there are any.
You can't. You can't measure. I think success is just whether or not people went to go see it. And I think reviews are very middling. I've seen people say it's the worst X-Men movie. And I've also seen reviews say it's not as bad as you think it would be.
Okay. So not glowing. I mean, I I've seen, I think, every X-Men movie. I can't believe it's the worst, but also, sure, maybe it is. I don't know. Again, no one I know has seen it because we're not allowed.
Yeah. Like, I have to believe it's not the worst just because the Demon Bear Saga is just that good. Although,
yeah.
Although you have stuff like X3 and you have stuff like, I don't know, what's worse than X3? X3 is pretty down there for me.
Yeah.
I'm one of those first class apologists. So.
I was gonna say first class, but I didn't want to like.
In recent years, first class has this like really weird reputation of people either absolutely loving it or just hating it.
I think it's crazy.
I think it does. It does some things really well, like Magneto and Professor X.
Magneto and Professor X, yes, yes.
And then it does some things really terribly, like killing Darwin and Emma Frost.
So the Magneto and Professor X relationship, I always find myself wondering, do I love this relationship, or is it because I have this outside knowledge of Ian McKellen and Patrick Stewart being actual friends and I love watching them work together? I have to like constantly do that math in my head of, is this actually good, or do I just love their actual friendship? But I think they do a good job in the I think it's interesting in the movies. Yeah. Before we started, you mentioned, because we're kind of talking about this movie being released and whether or not $7 million is good, bad, that there's a Google spreadsheet. Can you just explain this? Because it was really interesting.
When it was like, oh, New Mutants is coming out, I was just like, okay, what theaters are open? And there is actually an organization of movie theater owners that keep track of kind of the state-by-state regulations for movie theaters. And so there's this whole Google Doc that gets updated that has like the state-by-state listings of what theaters are open, the phases in which they open for that state's reopening plan. It's this whole thing of like, okay, well, in Wisconsin, theaters are open, but it's only at 25% capacity, yada, yada, yada. It's this big Google Doc that has all this, and then there's this one tab for major markets, which is basically all the metropolitan areas in the U.S., and everything is closed for that. But everything in flyover state, there are a bunch of middle America and flyover state movie theaters that are open.
I guess it was so varied and so different state by state. And I guess there are some states that just weren't as hard hit or weren't as hard hit yet. And opening movie theaters is going to make that happen. I'm not a health expert, but doesn't seem like the world's greatest idea.
No.
I find this fascinating for a couple of reasons. One, because you would think that this is being, or you would hope that this is being tracked in some official, I don't know, governmental kind of way, like what the regulations are and where things are open and where they're not. And it's not. It's being tracked by just like people.
Just a bunch of dudes and girls and
who own movie theaters. And it's being done. People deride Google Docs as like, oh God, another Google Doc. They are so efficient. They work so well. They do their job really well. And I love that this is just like an Excel spreadsheet, or I guess not Excel, it's sheets. Sorry.
It's a sheet.
Because, man, do I love a spreadsheet. But this is nuts that this is how things are being done, where it's just like, does anyone know the rules of like whether or not we're allowed to open a movie theater in Wisconsin? No, but here's this spreadsheet some guys are updating. Like, what are we doing?
Dudes, it'll be really interesting to see what happens with Tenet in the US, because that's opening in 2 days.
Yeah.
And that made $53 million worldwide.
It feels, and this has been, we obviously don't have to get too far down this road, but it feels almost unfair, or it's just sort of like typifies the country's response. And we are a country of states that are all able to make their own rules and laws and regulations. But it's really hard to know what's okay and what's not when, like we were saying, when schools and colleges are struggling to open, but movie theaters have new things for you to go see, and everyone is desperate to have new things to go and see. And it feels like, well, if they're doing it, it must be okay to participate in. But It's not even being tracked by someone.
Put it on VOD.
God, people just do it.
People will pay. They're going to pay. They're going to pay $30 for Mulan, which is so much money.
I can't wait to pay $30 for Mulan. I'm so excited to watch while my kid naps. I'm like, yes, please, something new. You,
I would have paid $50. I would have paid $50 to see New Mutants. And there are dozens of us X-Men fans who are like, we would have paid to see it. Just make it safe.
It feels like baking a cake and ordering like someone's favorite pizza when they're like, you know that I'm having surgery tomorrow and I can't eat. Like, why are you doing this? Why are it? It's irresponsible. I don't know. I mean, look, I guess if you live in a place where it's okay, but I don't think anywhere is that place.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's very crazy. I hope, I guess, it does well. What an interesting story. The story behind it is almost as interesting.
It's one of the more fascinating stories in terms of like a movie trying to get made.
Yeah. This movie wants to live.
It wanted to live so badly, but things just kept hitting it over the head with a bat.
Yeah.
It was just like, how many times do we have to teach you this lesson, old man? The old man being a bunch of teen mutants.
And they're like, no, I'm Maisie Williams. It's me.
I know. It's me, Maisie, and a bunch of
Aria. I mean, hopefully it's on, like you were saying, on demand in a few weeks, and we can come back and talk about it again. But man, what an interesting life and kind of potentially quiet little death this movie might have.
It's going to kind of sputter out.
Yeah.
Make like maybe $10 million.
Yeah, which again, would be thrilled. But for a movie that took a lot of time and money to make, not so great. But anyway, Ben, thanks so much for chatting about it. And hopefully when we actually get a chance to watch it, we can talk about the movie and not just the drama behind it and the responsibility of releasing it in theaters.
Yeah, yeah, that sounds good. I'd like that.
Talk to you soon.
Thanks.
Okay, and that is it. That is Who Won the Week, our very first Who Won the Week of September 2020. We're in the back half of the year, folks. So the nominations and the winners of Who's Winning the Week are only getting just sort of the same. It's me picking. It is me, the arbiter of who won the week. And this week, the winner is, drumroll please, it's David Boyd. A person that we did not talk about at all on this podcast. But this week, David Blaine, in an act of complete hubris and, I guess, joy and maybe insanity, flew 25,000 or nearly 25,000 feet, almost 5 miles, in the air, tied to just some giant helium balloons, which if you're thinking, huh, that sounds a lot like the movie Up, it basically is the plot of the movie Up. He had an oxygen mask at one point. He was so high up. It was just crazy. And if you go watch the video on YouTube. It's like almost 3 hours long. He starts off by telling his very young daughter that he's doing this for her, which feels like a really potentially damaging thing to tell your kid, because like he could have died. So you know what? Shout out to David Blaine for giving us the kind of truly deranged distraction that I think everyone is craving right now. So David Blaine, you improbably won the week. Congratulations. And guys, that's it. That is our podcast this week. I want to thank Trent Moore for stopping by and chatting all about the news. I want to thank Ben Fullon for coming on and talking about New Mutants. As always, subscribe to this podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We come out every Friday, and we also have bonus content that drops periodically throughout the week, sometimes on weekends as well. So make sure you subscribe so you're getting updates on all of that good stuff. Follow Sci-Fi Wire on all forms of social media. And of course, check out sci-fi.com to keep up on all your geek news throughout the week. See you next week. For Sci-Fi Wire, I'm Jackie Jennings. Stay geeky. I'm trying it out. Let me know what you think.